the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, where we discuss all things crypto related. Your host, Kieran Ryan.
Is Bitcoin exhaustion setting in? After a spectacular 300% bull run since the start of 2023, Bitcoin has spent the last 3 months treading water at around $65,000. The first few months of 2024 were equally spectacular, helped along by the launch of several Bitcoin ETFs, or exchange-traded funds as they're known, though the enthusiasm has died down in the last few months as shown by the flatlining price. Ether, the native coin of the Ethereum blockchain, is up about threefold since the start of 2023. Good news for Ether is that it too, like Bitcoin, will likely receive approval from US regulators in the next few months for ETFs. That's essentially opening the door for large-scale institutional money to flow in. Should these Ether ETFs follow the same path as the Bitcoin ETFs, we could see a jump in price as institutional money starts diving in. Crypto, it seems, is going mainstream. These institutions are expected to take relatively modest bets on Bitcoin and Ether, the idea being that, though they are volatile, there's a chance of delivering superior market performance over time. Looking down the list of the top 10 cryptocurrencies as measured by market cap, US dollar-backed stablecoins Tether and USDC continue to hold their own, serving as a kind of parallel adjunct to the fiat market. Originally conceived as a way for crypto traders to switch into something more stable, particularly after a bull run in crypto prices, stablecoins continue to find new and fascinating use cases. Well, we're about to discover a little bit more about that, and we're joined by Omer Iqbal, CEO of crypto exchange and payments company Five West. Hi, Omer. It's good to talk to you again. I think this time we're talking to you from Germany. You're at the Euro 2024 competition. I'm sure that's pretty exciting. What game did you attend recently?
Hey, Kieran. Good to be back on. I was at the England-Serbia game. Lame 1-0, but yeah, at least we got to experience the game.
Okay. Well, let's get into it. Bitcoin and Ether have been on an absolute tear from the beginning of 2023. Now they seem to be flatlining. It looks like a little bit of exhaustion setting in. What do you think is the reason for that?
Yeah, Bitcoin and Ethereum experienced significant price increases at the beginning of this year. And I suppose it was due to a combination of factors, including broader adoption, favorable macroeconomic conditions, and positive sentiment around regulatory developments. We also had the halving event coming up, so that led to a lot of investor speculation about whether the price will increase as compared to the previous halvings. And I think it's now kind of flatlined, and we can probably say it's because of the market being mature. So extreme volatility tends to decrease as the market matures. And I suppose the big top talking point these days is the ongoing regulatory scrutiny and uncertainty around the globe, which is tending to dampen investor enthusiasm and leading to cautious trading. I suppose there's been a lot of different economic conditions that have also assisted with the halt of the prices, including inflation rates, interest rates, geopolitical events. And that's, I suppose, has always led to people getting worried about whether or not they'd like to invest in a speculative asset class such as crypto. And lastly, I think there's after significant gains. So if we take last year, compare the Bitcoin price last year at the same point to this year, there's been significant gains. So I think people are taking profits. And now there's kind of this consolidation phase where prices are stabilizing before potentially we see our next move.
I mean, it is interesting that you say prices are stabilizing, and they are stabilizing at quite a high level. And do you expect with the launch of the ETS for Ether that it's going to get a lot of support from institutions in the same way that Bitcoin did earlier in the year when Bitcoin ETS were launched? And what do you think this is going to do for price?
I think we've seen kind of similar response to what we saw with the Bitcoin ETFs. It's gained considerable support already. Diversification, I suppose, is the biggest factor here. Institutions are looking to diversify their portfolios, and Ethereum ETFs are a very attractive option for them, given Ethereum's unique value propositions like smart contracts and DeFi protocols. If you see Bitcoin as Bitcoin ETFs have set a positive precedent, making institutions more comfortable with the idea of ETFs. So Ethereum ETF should be a step in the right direction in order for institutions to be investing more money into that. Also, I think it signifies regulatory acceptance, which will boost in not only institutional but also retail acceptance of cryptocurrencies. Lastly, I think when it comes to traditional investment, people want the feeling of holding an entire Ethereum more than rather than holding 0.05% of a Bitcoin. So I think psychologically we'd see a lot more people investing in Ethereum ETFs just because they get that feeling of them holding a physical whole Ethereum at the end of the day.
I want to talk about blockchain for a minute. It's been a decade and a half since blockchain tech burst onto the scene. Not that it came into existence with Bitcoin. It was there before that. But it did change the landscape and enable cryptocurrency in a way that was not possible before. I mean, the main thing about the blockchain tech is it was proposed as a way of accounting for masses of transactions, and it has certainly delivered on that. But what I'm tending to see, and I want to know if you agree with me on this, the rate of innovation around blockchain has slowed. Or is this just the beginning? Is this just a lull before we see a new wave of innovation around blockchain?
I think arguably it's just the beginning. There are a lot of ongoing and emerging innovation that we see every single day coming out. I think innovations like the Layer 2 solutions, Lightning Network for Bitcoin, rollups for Ethereum are addressing the scalability issues that we had with the blockchain. Their projects are also developing protocols that enable different blockchains to communicate and transact with each other seamlessly. I think that's been a real talking point in the past. So I suppose that is something, a step in the right direction. DeFi also is continuing to evolve with more sophisticated financial products and services being involved on blockchain platforms. So the DeFi network, we've seen a lot of new DeFi protocols also coming up. So I think everything is a step in the right direction, and soon we'll see real life use cases for blockchain and why people should implement that in not only their businesses but also in their daily lives. NFTs also seem to be expanding just beyond the digital art factor, which includes areas like gaming, real estate, virtual real estate, as well as intellectual property. And we've seen a lot of blockchain being adopted for supply chain management, including identity verification and data integrity solutions across various industries. I was recently reading an article about doctors implementing it. So basically, you go into one, you fill out your forms, and then if you visit different doctors, your forms are already filled out. I think that was a real pain point for anyone going to see a doctor, is having to fill out a number of forms, and this takes that completely away, which is, I suppose, a step in the right direction, especially for me, who doesn't like filling out forms.
Right. I see that there's this new liquidity, what that goes by the name of Cupcake Hop. It's a bit of a tongue twister, that one, but it's supposed to be a cross-chain liquidity pool and yield aggregator. So what does that mean? Basically, what it seems that they're doing is they're using AI to help investors move funds from the highest yielding liquidity pool to the next one, as you know, in microseconds, basically. So this kind of thing is starting to happen, and of course, it all rests on the blockchain. Do you see AI beginning to feature much in this, in the development of blockchain?
Yes, it definitely will. With AI, it's making our lives a lot simpler, and I suppose it's going to start also helping us in our daily lives, whether when you want to check out at a store to you doing work every day and or even at school. I think it is a step in the right direction, and it should develop. As soon as the blockchain develops, I think AI and blockchain would go hand in hand and actually, yeah, change it for the better.
All right, let's talk about stable coins. These were originally developed as a way for crypto traders to park their profits in something a bit more stable. So after a bull run in Bitcoin, you feel that it's going to hit maybe a period of consolidation or even a drop. So you would switch into a Tether or a USDC. But as you pointed out several times in the past, there are a lot of other interesting use cases for stable coins. Maybe just run us through a few of those.
This is by far my favorite topic to speak about. I think I'm the most passionate about using stable coins, not only just for hedging yourself, but they've got plenty use cases. And I suppose the biggest use case that we've seen is for cross-border payments. Stable coins offer faster, cheaper, and more efficient cross-border transactions compared to traditional banking systems. Also, the fees that you can get it done for are a lot cheaper than what you'd pay using, let's say, the SWIFT method for cross-border payments. It holds huge value. And being implemented would hold huge value, not only for the consumer, but also for a bank itself to get transactions done in seconds rather than it taking days and it going through corresponding banks, etc. I think the time that it cuts for a transaction, as well as the fees, or significant drop in fees, I think that's huge for the financial system itself. Also, stablecoins provide... It can help you provide financial services to both the unbanked as well as the underbanked populations, especially in regions where currency is very volatile and not many people have access to good banking solutions itself. So I think it would serve a great purpose in Africa. I think that would be huge. And stablecoins, moving on from that, I think stablecoins are also integral to DeFi platforms, including enabling, stablecoins are integral to DeFi platforms, enabling decentralized lending, borrowing, and earning interest with less volatility. I think that's also huge when you're working with smart contracts and DeFi. I think you want to be able to lend, borrow, as well as get your money back instantly instead of you having to be stuck into a fixed investment scheme with a bank, for instance. So I think that's something huge. Rather than you being stuck for 3 months, you can kind of get access to your money fairly quickly. And lastly, stablecoins are now being used to tokenize real world assets, real estate, stocks being an example of that. And are now more accessible and tradable on blockchain platforms. I think recently we had another podcast, I think my last one, where we were chatting about these blockchain platforms and how I would like stocks, etc., to start to trade on exchanges. So I think that's also something that we can look forward to in the near future.
And treasury management services as well. I mean, we've spoken about this before, but this is where companies who are operating in Africa and they're dealing with very... very weak local currencies, what they can do is they can actually hold their reserves in a US dollar-backed stablecoin without contravening any of the central bank exchange controls, and then shift back into the local currency when they need to pay bills. And if you were, you know, in Nigeria or in Malawi, you could have saved yourself, you know, in the course of 1 year, something like 25% if you had done that. Is that becoming a big item in Africa?
Yeah, it really is. Not only just in Nigeria and Malawi, even in South Africa, we see a lot of companies actually starting to hold stablecoins on their balance sheet because just the ease of getting in and out, as well as hedging themselves in dollars. Again, it brings us back to the same point as when you're quoting a customer from overseas in dollars and then the price is moving significantly. You want to be able to hedge yourself. Otherwise, you're kind of not earning any money from that project or that service that you provided them. It is becoming a huge thing in Africa, and I think it's becoming very successful with new regulations coming in South Africa with the cash license, which is the crypto asset service provider license also coming in. I think it's very important that we did get onto par with these regulations just so that companies feel a lot more confident when they're dealing with local companies buying cryptocurrencies and holding it on their balance sheet. It is something, and it's just a relative ease of getting in and out. You're holding rands, then you're holding USDT or USDC or any of the other stable coins, and then converting it back, like you just said. I think the relative ease is what's actually promoting it, and it actually speaks for itself.
It's interesting that you say that's taking off in South Africa. What kind of companies are going for this, in putting stable coins on their balance sheet? Are these... surely not the big JSE listed companies, probably more the mid-tier companies, I would imagine.
Yeah, it's definitely the mid-tier companies, especially companies that have got some work or are providing services to clients offshore who want to be able to pay it in dollars, so they get paid in dollars via the bank or holding future contracts. So they want to be able to hedge themselves out until the project is complete before, because otherwise they're just losing too much on the exchange rate. If it's decreasing, I suppose now with the coalition government coming into place, the rand has strengthened a lot. I think it's trading around the 18-10 region. Hopefully with that, a lot of people have been sitting out wanting the rand to appreciate. We're seeing a lot of less demand with the stabilizing rand. Let's see. Hopefully it stays that way and we can get the rand back to the 15, 16, 17 region soon.
Why would a company who's getting paid in US dollars want to switch into US dollar-backed stable coins? Are there cheaper fees? Is it just the faster ability to switch and to make payments and switch between currencies?
I suppose it's the cheaper fees and the speed of it. But if you want to think about something, you've still got obligations offshore. So if the rand keeps decreasing and increasing, you never know where to price yourself. So if you're pricing it at 18.90 and the next day it's at 19.20, you've kind of underpriced yourself. So once they price a client, they want to be able to hedge themselves out locally. So they'd use the rands that they're holding, convert it to US dollars and wait for them to get paid. Because sometimes when you provide a service or you are providing goods even to clients, you're not getting paid until the delivery's taken place. And for that, you need to be able to hedge yourself, and that they're doing using stablecoins.
And what would be the legal requirements for that? I mean, this is completely within the regulations set by the Reserve Bank.
Yeah, well, they're doing it with money on their balance sheet, right? So if they're holding, let's say, R1 million, and their service is worth R1 million, they're using that R1 million that they're holding on their balance sheet to hedge themselves in USDT and until they get paid. And then they convert back to local rands.
Okay.
Because you're seeing both inflows and outflows from these companies. It's not just them buying USDT and then holding it. They're actually converting it back. So it's always a bid and an ask side that they're hitting at one point. It can also be used for speculation. So a lot of companies are now speculating on the rand as well because they feel that if the rand is increasing or decreasing, so they're kind of speculating and making sure that they can kind of earn more money on the money that they're sitting with or not using, making use of in their everyday businesses.
Interesting. Just turning back to Bitcoin for a minute, the Bitcoin price, it's been flat over the last few months, but we are in the year of the halving. In April, the rate of new Bitcoin issuance dropped by half. Historically, that's been associated with a bull market both before and after the halving. So we've just passed, April, we've just passed the halving event. Do you expect the rest of the year to be bullish for Bitcoin? A lot of people are saying we're probably going to see a drop before we see the bull market pick up again.
I think previous halving events have been followed by significant bull runs. Though past performance is never a guarantee, but I think what we've seen in the past is it's been a significant bull run. Analysts do expect that the rest of the year be very bullish for Bitcoin, but it is contingent on broader market conditions and investor sentiment, which is remaining favorable. But like I mentioned before, there's a lot of different geopolitical issues and a lot of regulatory clarity that we still need for it to keep going that way. Also, I think you mentioned earlier that the price has been fairly high levels and it's stabilizing at a fairly high level. So I wouldn't personally say that it's going to be favorable for the rest of the year. I think we might see playing around this region, maybe some sideways movement. I wouldn't be too bullish at this point. I think we still have a long way to go before regulatory clarity in different regions comes into play. I think with the Ethereum ETF launching, we might see a little bit more price movement. But I think all the Ethereum ETF speculation has been priced in already. So in my opinion, I think it's a little bit of sideways movement. We might see few up and downs, but yeah, the market does, or analysts are remaining quite bullish for the rest of this year.
All right, Omar, final question. What are some of the events to watch out for in the coming months? So it's been a year of a lot happening. We've had the halving event. We've had the issue of CASP licenses, the crypto asset service provider licenses. What else should we be looking out for?
I think the effective use of stablecoins is what I'm looking forward to. I think that's something that governments are starting to test out, and I think we might soon be seeing governments testing cross-border payments and a lot more financial inclusion for underbanked regions, especially in Africa. I think that'll be something to look out for the rest of this year. And also the tokenization of assets such as real estate and stocks we've already seen. So now we're looking forward to a few more asset classes. And then just the Ethereum ETF. I think that's something that has been on the cards for a very long time. And I'm very excited to see how institutions take that, because it was quite bullish once the Bitcoin ETF launched. So hopefully we get the same reaction from institutions and Grayscale and the likes of those pouring some money into that and getting it ready for retail investors to now get a chance of investing in not only just Bitcoin but also Ethereum.
Well, we're going to watch that with great interest in the coming months. We're going to leave it there. That was Omar Iqbal, CEO of Five West. Thanks very much, Omar, for coming on.
Thanks, Kieran. Thanks for having me on. Chat to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the MoneyWeb Crypto Podcast, hosted by Kieran Ryan. To listen to our other podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the MoneyWeb app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.